BetMGM Network presents to you the most unique show in sports.
I'm an NFL junkie. I think I like the NFL more than my wife. Don't tell her. Don't tell anybody. I love the National Football League.
A show so unapologetically original, it needs its own word to describe it. Wagertainment.
Money won. Is twice as sweet as money here.
Featuring the prop king himself, Nick Kostos.
Do something constructive with your money instead of betting it on Kalen DeBoer. Here's the bottom line. In the National Football League, you play to win the game. And the Green Bay Packers now, 2 days before the season starts, have Micah Parsons instead of Kenny Clark. And the Cowboys have Kenny Clark instead of Micah Parsons. Period.
This is You Better You Bet on the BetMGM Network. Make it legendary.
What's up, everybody? Happy and merry, phenomenal Football Friday to you and yours. This is You Better You Bet on the BetMGM Network. Nick Kostos, Femi Abebefe, our crew, and you here on the Odyssey app, on SiriusXM, on YouTube, on Twitch, on radio stations nationwide. We are in your hearts and in your minds as we bring you the fastest show in all of wagertainment. Talking all things sports betting. The show presented today and always by BetMGM. Make it legendary by downloading the BetMGM app and visiting BetMGM.com. Coming up today on the show, one word, bets. Bets. Glorious, glorious bets. Bets. As far as the eye can see. How many minutes of bets, you might ask? 100 minutes of bets today on the show, starting at 5:20 p.m. Eastern Time. Bets for Major League Baseball. Bets for the WNBA. Bets for Week 2 of college football. Bets for Week 1 NFL Sunday. And our side, total, and prop thoughts for tonight in Brazil. The Kansas City Chiefs and the Los Angeles Chargers. We will take a trip to Femi's Island for the first touchdown scorers. And you, dear listener and dear viewer, are hereby invited to thy royal court, the King's Court, the Prop King's Court, for thy royal yardage and anytime touchdown scorers for tonight's game. All of that coming up. 100 minutes of bets at 5:20 p.m. Eastern Time. And at 5 o'clock Eastern Time, we will get college football bets for week number 2 with the great Colin Wilson, Action Network Big Bets on the Campus podcast. Colin joins us 1 hour from now. But we begin the first phenomenal Football Friday of the 2025 NFL season with the regular season opener last night, which somehow had a lightning delay and ended close to 1 o'clock Eastern. Some of us live on the East Coast and have young children and have to get up in the morning. Hey, like, do we really need games ending at like 1 a.m. on the East Coast? Just allow me to bitch about this for a second, please, because I'm tired. We're going to make it through. Don't you worry. But man, 12:30 p.m. Eastern Time? Give me a freaking break, man. All right, I'm done bitching about the weather delay, at least as far as my sleep is concerned. We'll get to the total of the game coming up in a little bit. The Eagles beat the Cowboys last night, 24-20. The betting reaction from the game, and there's a lot of it, is coming up next segment, about 20 minutes from now. And trust me when I say, you won't want to miss it, because it was a comedy of errors last night as far as the bets went with the Eagles and the Cowboys in Philadelphia. For now, let's talk about the actual game. Let's talk about Philadelphia's win, and we're going to spin this forward here because I think, at least with one of the teams, I'm already circling a bet for next week off of what we saw last night with the Eagles and the Cowboys. And I guess we need to start at the start of the game, where literally, before one play is from scrimmage, we have the opening kickoff, and then before we have the first play on offense from scrimmage, Jalen Carter's ejected from the game for spitting at Dak Prescott. What a sentence to utter. You couldn't script this in a million years that that's how the game would start. Best defensive player in the game spits on the opposing quarterback, and he gets ejected. Like, imagine we spend the offseason handicapping this game. All day yesterday, handicapping this game. And then before the first play from scrimmage happens, the most important defensive player's out. This would be like betting an LA Rams game a couple years ago, and all of a sudden Aaron Donald's out. You bet a Cleveland Browns game, and Myles Garrett's out. You bet a Dallas Cowboys game, and Micah Parsons is out. Too soon? Just what a ridiculous set of circumstances. Like, props, side, total, everything that completely turned upside down because Jalen Carter spit at Dak Prescott. I mean, just as revolting as it gets. I mean, just the worst thing. I mean, honestly, as a man, I think I'd rather you punch me in the face than spit in my face. I mean, it's like, what's worse, like spit or slap? I think spit's the worst one. I think that's like the most offensive thing that one man could do to another man, spit in his face. So obviously, horrible behavior from Jalen Carter. I mean, everyone knows it. It's obvious. To his credit, he did apologize for it. What's he going to do? Be like, yeah, like I'd do it again. Like that meme. Yeah, you're damn right I'd do it again. Of course he won't. We'll see if he gets suspended for the Super Bowl rematch coming up next week against the Kansas City Chiefs. I will just add, and then we'll talk about the game. Dak Prescott absolutely instigated that entire thing. Now, I don't think Dak spit at Jalen Carter, but he knew what he was doing. Spitting in the vicinity. He's smiling in Jalen Carter's face and motioning for the official after Carter spits at him. I hate to say it, Dak Prescott is a snitch. He snitched on Jalen Carter. He was a snitch. I'm just saying, like, that. This is, I didn't write the rules. You can get mad at me if you want. Dak Prescott snitched. And I don't even necessarily blame Dak Prescott. Like, Jalen Carter's crazy. And when you can instigate a crazy person to do something crazy and they suffer the repercussions, not you, then, yeah, I don't blame him for doing it. But also, Jalen Carter was in the wrong. Dak Prescott absolutely instigated that. 100% instigated it. And Dak Prescott snitched after the fact. Where I'm from, the mean streets of Queens, New York, snitches get stitches. Not from me. I would never step to Dak Prescott. But just saying, that's generally the rule from the mean streets. And Dak Prescott absolutely snitched on Jalen Carter. So, not even a play into the game, and the best defensive tackle probably in football isn't playing in the game. Just absolutely insane. And I'll be honest with everyone, and we'll talk more about this next segment, right? Jalen Carter gets ejected. I want to do cartwheels. I got the over in the game. Best defensive tackle in the league's out. I'm hoping in that moment. I mean, can George Pickens mess with Cooper? Can Cooper DeJean spit at George Pickens? Like, can Quinyon Mitchell spit at CeeDee Lamb? Let's get all the good defensive players out of this game. Let's get all of them out. Let's let Deron Bland can spit at A.J. Brown. Let's get all the defensive players out. I mean, I can't believe the over didn't hit again. That's what will be a story for next segment here. But of course, the Dallas Cowboys are able to run the ball, right? After Jalen Carter goes out of the game. Of course that was able to happen. They still end up losing the game 24-20. But the game, I think, closer, obviously, because Jalen Carter is out. And when the game ended, and I'm thinking about the game in the aftermath, and because I mean, I'm guessing that you are like me, the listener or the viewer. How do you sleep after a game like that? Like, I'm laying in bed it's late because the game ended late, and I'm laying in bed and I'm thinking about the game. And I wake up this morning and I got myself a gun and I'm thinking about the game. I walked away from that game really, really impressed with the Dallas Cowboys. Not that the Cowboys are a Super Bowl caliber team, and they did lose the game. Not that the Cowboys are a Super Bowl caliber team, but I thought that was like a statement of intent from the Cowboys that this is not going to be a pushover team this year. That they're not going to let what happened with Micah Parsons and the Jerry Jones fiasco define their 2025 season. And I say this for two reasons. Number one, I thought Dak Prescott was magnificent last night. I thought he was outstanding in the game. And you can see, like, he obviously lost weight. It's like when you see someone and you haven't seen them in a while and they lost weight and, like, their face isn't fat. And not that Dak had a fat face. He's an athlete, right? But you can tell that he lost weight. You know immediately. You can see it, like, whoa. Like, he got in way better shape. It seemed to me like that was the most vocally demonstrative and, like, and physically demonstrative that Dak has been in his career. I've never seen it like that. Like, Dak firing up his teammates like that, as animated as he was. I loved that from Dak Prescott. And the throws that he was making were unbelievable. Like, no fear. Dropping it in the bucket, and his receivers, especially CeeDee Lamb, and we'll get to him, let him down consistently throughout the game. And if you're like a box score monkey, oh, well, he only threw for 188 yards. How good could the game be? I don't know. How about this? Like, do you watch football, clown? Moron? I don't care that he only threw for 188 yards. Look at all the drops in this game. Look at the quality of throw from Dak Prescott in this game. That was takeaway number one, positive, for the Dallas Cowboys. And the second one, none of us had any idea, and I guess, like, the jury can still be out. It's one game. None of us had any idea how this was going to be with Brian Schottenheimer from a game management perspective. I think we all kind of assumed, like, he's going to call a good game, especially coming off the heels of the Mike McCarthy era where, like, they're stuck in the Mesozoic era on offense. They hired Clayton Adams to be the run game coordinator. Like, it looked way better. And the offense, like, looked, just even to an untrained eye, looked like it was more advanced than it's been in previous years. I was fascinated to see what type of game manager Brian Schottenheimer is going to be. And I think we got at least a partial answer to that question. Like, we don't know how aggressive he's going to be on fourth downs when he gets into a big spot like that. Like, that we don't know yet. But at the end of the first half, I thought he managed the clock perfectly, leading to that Aubrey field goal. It's one of those where you're watching it, and I'm like, he's nailing it. It's not, and not that I'm the be-all, end-all here, but I think all of us, this is going to sound crazy. I actually mean it. Like, all of us that have, like, hit the bong and played Madden and wiped Cheeto dust off the analog on our PlayStation controllers, I think all of us are pretty good clock managers because of that. So we're all watching the game, and collectively on social media, everyone at the conclusion of that drive down the first half is like, Shotty nailed it. I thought that was really good from Brian Schottenheimer, and no one knew how that was going to go. So I think what you've got coming out of this game, and we'll talk about the defense, which I think is extremely problematic without Micah Parsons. But if the quarterback's going to play like that, if the head coach is going to properly manage the game, and if the number one wide receiver can hold on to the damn ball, at worst, this team's going to be frisky this year. At worst. At worst. And I'm not the first person to say this. Like, I come on the air at 4 o'clock Eastern the day after the game is played. So I'm sure other people have said this today. It's not an original take by me, but it doesn't mean it's not true. This team could use Micah Parsons. Like, they might be a playoff team with Parsons. Like, that was a good effort last night by the Cowboys. And if CeeDee Lamb holds on to the ball in the fourth quarter, like, they probably win. Like, we're probably talking about the 1-0 Dallas Cowboys and the 0-1 Philadelphia Eagles. If CeeDee Lamb holds on to the ball. Next week, the Cowboys host my New York football Giants. There's a look ahead market at BetMGM. Dallas is a 3-point favorite. Like, hilarious. Like, if Dak's going to play like that, like, there's no way that the point spread in that game should be 3. And the total of the game is 44.5. I don't care that last night's game went under the total. We'll talk about that next segment. Did you watch everything that happened before the Lightning delay? That defense stinks, and this offense is electric for the Cowboys. And you're going to put a total up of 44.5? Please. Love that over next week, and we'll see what the Giants do on Sunday. On the other side, we'll talk the Cowboys defense, impressions of the Eagles, and how last night went from a betting perspective. Spoiler alert, not great.
We'll be right back with You Better You Bet on the BetMGM Network. Make it legendary.
Second and 10, Prescott gives it. Miles Sanders running in open space. There goes Sanders at the 30. Chase to the 20. Bond brings him down to the 10.
A few moments later.
From the 11-yard line, Sanders. Bond picked up by Quinyon Mitchell.
You're tuned in to You Better You Bet with Nick Costos and the crew on the BetMGM Network. Make it legendary.
Wow, how about our guy, Kenny Henderson? Filling in for Jake Hassan today. Jake doesn't want it bad enough. He's out on a phenomenal football Friday before week one. So he's a clown. And Kenny coming in with like a nice little piece of imaging there. I love that from Kenny. Kenny, good job there with the a few moments later. We absolutely love that. Mike Tirico and Chris Collinsworth with the call last night on NBC. We'll get the Miles Sanders, We'll get to it in a few moments here when we fully break down the game from the betting perspective. But for now, we continue to talk from a football perspective, what we saw on the field last night, and how we're going to spin it forward. So I closed last segment talking about Dallas, right? And if that's what Dak Prescott's going to look like this season, if they had a good defense, like he could win MVP this year if he plays like that. He was so good last night. The throws from Dak last night were absolutely preposterous. They were awesome, and he was let down by his receivers, most notably, obviously, CeeDee Lamb. And I think the over can hit next week against the Giants, and I like Dallas in that game. Obviously, let's see what the Giants do on Sunday against Washington. No Andrew Thomas, probably not going to go well for the Giants. The Cowboys' defense, though, is not good. And there's an Eagles application of this that we'll get to as well. But this defense is not good for Dallas. Now, Dante Fowler had, like, one decent, like, pass rush and got to Jalen Hurts and actually, like, whipped Jordan Mailata on the play. It was actually nice from Dante Fowler. Otherwise, like, Collinsworth spent the whole game talking about, like, Marshawn Nealon's effort. Like, this is, like seventh grade or something. Like, we're giving out participation trophies for high motors. I don't understand. The Cowboys' pass rush got ragdolled all game by the Eagles' tackles. Lane Johnson and Mailata just annihilated the Cowboys pass rush. I don't know what the hell the Eagles were doing on offense in this game. And again, we'll get to that in a second, but I'm not like walking away from this game saying Dallas's defense is legit because they held the Eagles to 24 points. Like, I don't believe that for a second. The Lightning delay absolutely warped what was happening in this game because we were on track for like maybe like a 41-38 final score. And this is not sour grapes. It partially is sour grapes because of my overbet. But, like, let's call a spade, right? There was, like, Miles Sanders fumbles the last play before the Lightning delay. That was the first possession where there wasn't a score. And they were on the Eagles' 11-yard line. And then from there, not one point was scored. And people think this had nothing to do with, like, with how the game played out? Like, come on. Come on. The Eagles were going to score like 40 points in this game. However weird it looked, I feel like that was going to happen. So Dallas's defense, I don't want to put too much stock into the performance last night because of the weather delay. And the other thing, and this is consistent with what I was saying all offseason leading into this game. The Dallas offense, I think, is going to be really fun this year because of the passing attack. I don't think this run game is any good still. And I know Javonte Williams scored 2 touchdowns, and Javonte, like, looked pretty good. Jalen Carter didn't play. The best defensive player on the Eagles did not play. The best defensive tackle in the league didn't play in the game. Of course they were going to have some success running the football right up the middle when Jalen Carter doesn't play. So I'm not going to buy that Dallas' defense they're better than expected because they gave up 24. Consider the lightning delay. And I'm not going to buy that, oh, Dallas' run game is fixed. Like, consider that the context, right? Jalen Carter was out in the game. But I'm still impressed with the Cowboys despite that. I thought it was a gamey effort from Prescott, from Brian Schottenheimer, and from the team. And we'll get to CeeDee Lamb and company in a few moments. From the Eagles' perspective now, they did win the game. That's the first thing. And it's the most important thing. They won. However it happened, however it looked. And the Eagles have this ability, even in like a year like last year, right? Where you can make the case in the aftermath, just one of the better teams like this century in the NFL, where they win games, like they don't lose. Like, they win. And the fan base is infuriated by it. And we're infuriated watching it. And they won! And you still feel that way. So they did win. And they won without Jalen Carter. And they get credit for that. They're trying to win a Super Bowl championship. They start 1-0. And the Cowboys start 0-1. I tried to tell everybody this summer, this Eagle secondary is a big-time issue. Once you get past Quinyon Mitchell and Cooper DeJean, we're in the disaster zone, big time. I said all summer, Adoree Jackson is absolute toast. Stick a fork in him. He done. Did anyone actually feel bad for him last night? Did you have that point where just like human being empathy, like you feel bad for him? Because every single time the Cowboys have a wide open receiver, here's number 8 chasing him. It's just Adoree Jackson getting beat and beat and beat some more. Just destroyed. And I'm watching this thinking like, okay, like at some point you got to try something different. Like, I think it's going to end up being Jacorian Bennett. I said that the day after they made that trade with the Raiders. But man, like, secondary leaves a lot to Reed Blankenship. Like, his biggest play of the game was almost killing Jake Ferguson on that hospital ball from Dak Prescott in the end zone. Like, the secondary is an issue for the Eagles. Pass rush wasn't great for Philadelphia. Obviously, Jalen Carter doesn't play. That didn't help. But I think you walk away from this game thinking, okay, like, maybe the Eagles' defense, maybe not as good as we thought coming into the year. I don't want to overreact. Like, Carter didn't play in the game. But that secondary feels like it's problematic. And then there's the offense. Now, Jalen Hurts played well in the game. The Eagles won. He was outstanding running the ball. And he's always in command. He's always in control. And he's always poised. And I'm guessing you'll agree with what I'm about to say, you the person watching and listening. There's no way Hurts was... He had to have been hurt the entire year, which just makes it even more amazing that he won Super Bowl MVP, because he looked so much different running the ball in this game than he has for like 2 years, I want to say. He looked great running that extra burst and juice running the ball. So I thought Jalen Hurts played well. He did what he was asked to do. I think if you're an Eagles fan, I think you need to be slightly concerned about Kevin Petullo, the new offensive coordinator. Is he a disgrace to Italians? I'm not sure yet. I would say that this was not a smashing start for Kevin Petullo. Now, I understand that in one breath I'm saying I think they could have scored 40 points if the lightning delay didn't happen. But I mean, I don't know how you have a game play out in the NFL when you have two monstars at receiver, and A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith, and they combine for 4 catches for 24 yards. I have no idea how that happens. Like, it felt weird on offense for the Philadelphia Eagles. And I got no problem with them spelling Saquon Barkley more than last year, all the touches last year. We saw Will Shipley We saw A.J. Dillon. Like, I'm fine with that. I think that's actually smart, because who cares about running for 2,000 yards? Again, for your Saquon Barkley and you're the Eagles. Like, he got paid again. They gave him more money. The goal is that he's healthy in January and February. Like, I don't, that part of it, I don't mind. As a football analyst and observer, if I were an Eagles fan, I wouldn't mind that. But I did not think this was, like, the greatest first game calling plays for Kevin Petullo. I don't want to go too nuts here on what we saw from the Eagles, right? Because I've criticized the defense and I've criticized the offensive play calling. I also, earlier this week, picked the Eagles to win the NFC again and represent the conference in the Super Bowl. And there's no way that I'm going to walk that opinion back after one game and a game that they won. But I think we've got a couple things to watch now moving forward with Philly. Starting next week, on the road at the Chiefs in a Super Bowl rematch. And Jalen Carter might be suspended for that game. Like the clause, like the that's in the NFL rulebook is like respect for the opposition. If they're going to go by the letter of that law, like he should actually like never play again. He should be like banned from the sport. It's like literally, it's like I guess like he could like sleep with Dak's wife and that would be more offensive. Like, in terms of, like, the offensive meter, it's like, number one, like, sleep with the man's wife. Number two, spit in his face. He should actually, like, if that's the rule, he should never play again. I'm being facetious. Maybe he's suspended for the game. Maybe he'll play. We got to watch this Eagles secondary. And if that's going to be a thing this season, that number two corner spot is an abject failure, assuming that DeGene's the nickel corner, right, and not the number two boundary corner. And what's this offensive play calling going to look like? Are they going to be able to have an effective passing game when they need to have an effective passing game? Because they were able to win last night without it. I think if they play like that offensively against the Kansas City Chiefs, they're going to lose that game. They're going to lose that game. So I'm not going to go crazy yet on the Eagles, but I do think there is some cause for concern. And I can't wait to watch Kansas City tonight and get ready for Kansas City, Philadelphia next week. You better you bet on this Friday. Okay. Let's talk about the bets. All right. The over is one of the more infuriating week one bets that I've lost in a betting career for me that started in 2004. This is year 21 for me, betting on the National Football League. And I can count on one hand the really significant week one bad beats that I've had. We can go back to week one, 2008. I had a four-team teaser for way too much money at the time for what I was making as a radio producer at Sirius XM NFL Radio. And it came down to the final play of Panthers-Chargers in San Diego. And the only thing that I needed to happen, Chargers up 24-20, from the 14-yard line, the only thing that I needed to happen was for the Chargers to not allow a touchdown on the final play. Here's Jake Delhomme to Dante Rosario. Touchdown. And I'm poor. I literally had to ask my mom for money like to buy lunch at work the next day. What a loser, man. How about 2 years ago? I'm in Vegas with Ken Barkley. We got the Colts against the Jaguars, and they do that. Like we should have known at that moment that Anthony Richardson didn't have what it takes in the NFL because he kept leaving the goddamn game at the end, when we needed them to score a touchdown, and they could have like 9 tries from like the 2-yard line and couldn't score. That one was really bad. And then the rotten cherry on top of the sour sundae was last year. Bears Titans. The whole offseason, we love the Tennessee Titans. Caleb Williams, Bears 4.5-point favorites, facts not in evidence. If you read Ty Dunn's piece today, Ty Dunn, who writes for Go Long, which is like a great like Substack, man, it's a miracle the Bears were able to win this game, right? A game with a moment so infamous Will Levis, ridiculous pick six, followed by dropping to his knees during the play, doing a surrender cobra while the play's still going on. Unprecedented. While the play is going on. And in these moments, as sports bettors, we watch our money evaporate. How did the Titans lose? It's the worst bet. It's the worst beat of the entire season. And it was in week one last year. I pray. There are no gambling gods. They don't exist. It's like, oh, the gambling, whatever. Like, let me just say, just like, sometimes it's just like, it's all random. Everything's just all chance. It is my sincere hope. And it's not going to happen like this. Because it never does. I hope and pray that last night is the worst beat of the whole season. If that's the case, it's going to be a great year. Get that bleep out of the way now so we don't have to deal with it moving forward. But that's not how it goes. Oh no. More bad beats are waiting around the corner. Possibly tonight. Possibly Sunday. Possibly Monday. You can't escape. Oh man, what a delight. On the other side, we'll dive a little deeper into the bets lost last night and how pissed we are because of them.
We'll be right back with You Better You Bet on the BetMGM Network. Make it legendary.
Prescott looking middle, cover coming downfield for a win! CD couldn't hang on!
This is You Better You Bet with Nick Costos, Femi Abebefe, and the crew on the BetMGM Network. Make it legendary.
Yeah, it's one, all the reasons, like all the things. Someone actually tweeted me after the game. Like, I'm going to use a Nick Costos line. And when he said it to me, I was like, why didn't I say it? Like, it's my, it'd be like if, it's like someone at the end of a wrestling promo, someone said to Stone Cold Steve Austin, because Stone Cold said so, that's the bottom line. Why didn't Stone Cold say it? And the person's right. You know what it was? That the over last night was like, it's a laboratory bet. Like, that was a bet, a beat to a bet, that was like created in a laboratory by some sadistic son of a bitch scientist to torture us. That's not a real beat. That's like a fake beat. It's not real. Here's how we lost. Lightning delay for over an hour, and like the third best receiver in the league drops four passes. What? Like, Titans Bears last year. Like, it was a terrible, terrible loss. Like, it's not terribly shocking that Will Levis turned the football over and surrender Cobra at mid-play. It's not that shocking. You watch Will Levis at Kentucky? Not that shocking. It is shocking when CeeDee Lamb drops four passes. Like, not Jalen Tolbert, not Kevontae Turpin, hell, not even George Pickens, who like JBL clothesline from hell, a defender in this game. Like, he's, like, this film at 11, like, hey everyone, George Pickens is crazy. Did you know that? If you didn't, like, you got a reminder last night in this game that George Pickens is off his rocker. Very good player, but he's nuts. CeeDee Lamb signed a contract for $136 million. $100 million guaranteed. I know that some of you may not be able to comprehend this, so I'm going to do it in a Dr. Evil voice. $100 million. Guaranteed. It's more than enough to refund everyone that bet the over, right? My Venmo's at the Costos. Just saying. CeeDee Lamb. CD had a little lamb. Nick Costos had money, had money, had money. Nick Costos had money, then CD dropped the ball. And now my money's gone. It's gone. Did you know, dear listener and dear viewer, that this game last night started TD, 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 FG, TD, FG. Those are all scores. Eight drives, eight scores, all before halftime, and one on the first drive of the second half. And we lost the over. We lost. How about this stat tweeted out by Evan Abrams of the Action Network? In the last 20 years in the National Football League, games with a total of less than 50, so this is last night, total less than 50, that had 40 or more points scored in the first half were 172-1 to the over. Now 172-2. We are one of the ones in 172-2. What are the chances of this happening? And a special shout out goes to Miles Sanders. Miles Sanders, who, watching him last night try and score that long touchdown on a 49-yard run, Miles looks like he runs about a 13-minute mile. He looked like me on the 4th of July after like 14 Coronas. Horrible. I got Miles Sanders anytime touchdown. He breaks into the open field and I'm like, I'll be real. I'm like, he's not scoring. I've watched Miles Sanders play the last few years. But you hope. And then here comes Zach Bond. And you know how it's going to end. And he gets tackled. So Miles Sanders anytime touchdown can't catch. Yeah, but yeah. And then after the Reed Blankenship near decapitation of Jake Ferguson in the end zone, the Cowboys get a 1st and 10 from the Eagles 11. What do we think is going to happen? They're probably going to score. Miles Sanders puts the ball on the ground. We lose the over. Two plays, one drive. Money gone. I'm hoping that tonight's better. Can't be worse. I shouldn't say that. It could be. I hope it won't be. And just last note on the game, not even from a betting perspective. We talked a lot about Josh Simmons, right, for Kansas City, the 32nd pick in the draft. Just in case, and because I don't always explain this, right, in case people are like, well, the Chiefs lost the Super Bowl. Like, why did they pick 32nd? They actually traded with the Eagles. They made a trade with the Eagles. The Eagles picked 31st. The Chiefs picked 32nd. So the Chiefs took Josh Simmons, right, who I think is going to be a super important player this season. Jay Croucher on the show yesterday says he bet Josh Simmons to win Offensive Rookie of the Year. And if you think he's nuts, you might be right. But also, like, Jay's done very well for himself betting awards. So the 32nd pick's gotten a lot of pub. I think we're like 2 weeks away from the 31st pick getting a ton of pub. Now, ball knowers know who this is. Jihad Campbell of the Eagles, who is like the perfect, like, he's what you think, like, all these tweener players that have been drafted, like Isaiah Simmons. Like Jihad Campbell is like what Isaiah Simmons, like what we all thought he would be or could be. Freak athlete, can cover, like, I mean, you drop him in he's ridiculous in coverage in one game. He's fast, rangy, and he can rush the passer. The Eagles just signed Za'Darius Smith like 20 minutes ago. Great signing by them. Howie did it again. 9 sacks last year. Great signing. You don't think the Eagles are going to use Jihad Campbell at pass rush some this year and Vic Fangio doesn't have something cooked up for Jihad Campbell? You'd be wrong. Another find for Howie Roseman and the Philadelphia Eagles. You Better You Bet on this Friday. Femi Abebefe with me. Femi, we went down together with the over bet, unfortunately. Yeah. So I don't know if we need to relitigate that all that jazz. You got some takeaways from this game, though, right, that you'd like to share with the Eagles and the Cowboys.
Yeah, I'd rather not relitigate the over. We did that a lot during the 3 o'clock hour. You've done it as well. It's just, it's ridiculous. But to kind of piggyback what you're saying about Jahad Campbell before we get into some of the takes that I have, like, this is the exact kind of guy that can win Defensive Rookie of the Year. Everything that we talked about when we're discussing the award earlier this offseason, you want to play a lot of snaps. Last night, he played 92% of the snaps. Like, they trust him. He's awesome, and they trust him. Not just that he's awesome, they trust him to play all those snaps. So keep that in mind over the next couple of weeks with his DeRoy price. Those markets are starting to populate once again out there before tonight's game between the Chiefs and the Chargers. But my biggest takeaway, though, Nick, last night, and you kind of alluded to it from more of a game decision-making standpoint, but I think from a play-calling standpoint and how the offense looked, Brian Schottenheimer has my attention as the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys. I was thoroughly impressed with how much the Cowboys' offense looked like it was just a little bit more dynamic. They used Kevontae Turpin quite a bit in motion.
Well, as a fan, joking. Do you feel that? Are you talking about as a better or as a fan? Or both?
Both.
I was really impressed by Shoddy also. I'm with you.
Yeah. Like we joked during Femi's Island, like, Shoddy's secret weapon, Kevontae Turpin, but, like, he was in motion quite a bit. He was getting looks at receiver, obviously what he can do in the running back spot as well, which they probably need to do more. When you look at Miles Sanders as the spellback, I don't know if we want too much of that after he fumbled. Oh, by the way, the forced fumble was Jahad Campbell. But, like, I thought Shoddy's offense looked really, really strong. And, like, yes, Jalen Carter was out. And I always want to preface that when I say anything about the Cowboys offense based off of last night. Like, that's a big-time deal. He's a big-time player. However, like, that offensive line seemed to hold up pretty well. Dak Prescott was nice. If Schottenheimer's going to continue to do this, and we've seen him have offenses in Seattle. I was there covering it back in 2019 where they've had dynamic offenses. Like, this Cowboys offense might even be better than what we all thought going in, and we already had high expectations for this offense. Like, I think this offense is good enough to kind of take this team to fringe wild card level. Like, I don't know if you're ready to go there. I might be ready to go there.
I don't know why they traded Parsons. So like, that's why watching the game, if Micah Parsons is on this team and you watched that game last night, this looks like a playoff team.
They wanted to stop the run. And funny enough, like, actually, Kenny Clark, when he was on the field, they did stop the run. But it's like, come on. Micah Parsons is freaking Micah Parsons. Like, you don't make that trade. But, like, that's what they wanted to do. But, and Kenny Clark, by the way, he flashed last night, too, like, making a couple plays here and there. I thought he was pretty solid. But, like, overall, I thought Dallas outplayed Philadelphia. Now, Philadelphia has the better players. But I thought Dallas was the better team last night.
It's a terrible loss. Like, they really should have won the game.
It's a shame that, like, we saw the CeeDee Lamb drops. Yeah.
God.
Your second best player on offense. like that's the guy that cost you the game. Like, they outplayed Philly, and that was the exact game to try to steal it, and they just couldn't do it. And we might look back, maybe Dallas ends the year 8-9 or 9-8 and say, hey, this is why they didn't make it as a 7 seed, or why they didn't challenge either the Eagles or the Commanders for winning the NFC East, because all these games add up. We might say it's just week one, but it counts just as much as week 18 does, and it's a damn shame that it didn't. I do have one more takeaway from last night. It doesn't have to do with the game, but just like that was, did you see the commercial? The come on, ride the float. And ride it. I love that commercial.
I didn't.
You didn't see it? I think the NFL might have tweeted it. People were talking about it last night. And it features like DK Metcalf's, I think, either wife or fiance. She's wearing like a DK Metcalf jersey and a bunch of like other like YouTube creators.
Okay.
Drewski's in it. And it's like his remixing.
Who's Drewski?
He's like the comedian, the blonde haired, like heavier black guy comedian that like is like a, like all over like Twitter and YouTube. I'm sure you would recognize him if you saw him.
I don't think I would. Like, Tyler's like, how do I don't know, man. I'm 42. I'm sorry. I don't know who Drewski is.
If you Google Drewski, you would recognize him. Like, he's everywhere.
I'm not trying to sound cool either when I say that. It's not like, wow, look how cool I am. I don't know who this person is. I think I'm not cool.
No, I'm not surprised you don't know him by name, but if you didn't recognize him, I would be surprised. If you look it up during the break, but come on,
look,
right.
I'll be honest. I told you yesterday I went to the dispensary a couple nights ago. I got rocked, dude. So stop paying attention to commercials.
Like Dak Prescott.
I was just watching my money evaporate. Colin Wilson starts hour number two on the other side.
We'll be right back with You Better You Bet on the BetMGM Network. Make it legendary.